Bring your greetings in the name of Jesus. As we continue to worship together separately, I'm blessed by the fact that God can still be in our midst, even though we aren't together as a group. God can still bless. We can still worship God. We can still give praise to our Creator. There is a live audio feed on Facebook for anybody who is interested in going on there. The search would be Loyola Mennonite Church on Facebook. And there is a live audio going there. This is audio only. Also, if the conference line would go down or you get disconnected, you can wait a few minutes and we should be able to get back up again and get going. So if that happens, I believe Brother Joe is going to give me a signal to stop talking, and we'll wait until the line comes back up and you all can call in. May God bless you for calling in and being a part of this service. And as we think of the times that we live in, there's been much mention made of the horribleness of this epidemic, this pandemic, whatever you want to call it, and how it's hurting the economy and how it's hindering people's lives and putting everybody in danger. There's a lot of carefulness. There's a lot of concern. And I think as Christians, we need to be careful that we don't get overly anxious about these things. I do believe that we need to be careful. And I think it's only right that we are careful in this time. I'm not saying that we should just ignore it. But as I thought of all the things that are going on in our lives today, I thought of all the things that are prophesied in that Jesus talks about the end times, and that Revelation speaks about the pestilences that are going to be coming, and how men are going to be so fearful. I think that we have a picture and a window into what is happening in the world today. But when we think of the happenings around us, I had to think about how this corresponds with the spiritual life. And my message title, if I would give it one, would be Spiritual Pandemic Preparedness. We can spend a lot of time and a lot of effort when there's something seeming to threaten us physically. There's a lot of things we do, and there's a lot of preparations that we make. And we see it if we go to the store. We can see that there's a lot of people been making some preparations. The store shelves are empty. But when we recognize that there's something facing us spiritually, the global epidemic of sin is far worse and more serious than the COVID-19 virus. It not only affects the quality of life now, but the eternal destination of each individual of all generations, of all races. And when we stop and consider that, the question to myself and to all of us is, what preparation are we making for that? What are we doing in relation to the epidemic of sin that is around us? We need to recognize that we are not immune. We are not immune to the effects of sin. We are not immune to being infected with sin. In fact, all of us have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not one of us that hasn't, at one time or another, been infected by sin. Thankfully, God, through his love and his mercy, provided a way of salvation, a way to be cured of that, a way to be freed of that. Jesus speaks about his coming as being a physician that is coming to heal the sick. In Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he says he didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinner. And also that the well people don't need a physician, but the sick people do. And he has come to heal those. He has come to heal those who recognize that they are sick and they need a savior. They need someone to cure them and to give them a hope of life again. So as we look at this epidemic of sin around us, I'd like to just use some comparisons to what we're seeing happening in the world today, and compare that to our spiritual life and our preparation for the epidemic that is around us in sin. You know, there's so many people that are concerned about being infected, being contaminated, the social distancing, the shelter at in place orders, and so many different things that are going on. And I'm afraid sometimes, I don't want to judge everybody. I mean, I shouldn't say this maybe, but I am concerned sometimes that people are more concerned about themselves and not getting it than they are concerned about other individuals and their well-being. But as we look at this, we need to recognize the fact that sin is around us. Sin is an influence. Sin is not only around us and an influence, but sin is a temptation within us to yield to that. Satan works in our minds, in our hearts, to feed us with information that would draw us to a yielding to his temptations. He feeds things into us through our hearing and through our sight, and he feeds us constantly with those things, and he wants to draw us away. Our minds, as these things come into our minds, they have a way of being there, and we think about these things, and we sometimes we dwell on them, and we allow ourselves to enter into fantasies, and the list could go on. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul, writing to Timothy there, gives him an encouragement to flee these things. 1 Timothy chapter 6, excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 1 through 5. 1 Timothy chapter 3, excuse me, I'm jumping ahead of myself here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5 say this: "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness." And then he says, "From such withdraw thyself. This morning, are we concerned enough about not being contaminated with sin that we're willing to withdraw ourselves from those influences and those individuals that would contaminate our lives by sin and by the suggestion of sin and by the words that they speak and the actions that they do? Are we concerned enough about our own purity and our own freedom from sin and staying away from it enough that we are interested in withdrawing ourselves from it? In verse 11 of that same chapter, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to be concerned about our own well-being. And we need to be concerned enough about our own well-being that we're willing to withdraw ourselves from those individuals and from those things that would draw us away from God and would contaminate us with sin. And as we look around us, we see it all around us. But as we look at the Word of God, we can receive the medicine that we need to help us to remain immune to the sin around us, or can help us to build a good reserve of immunity. I believe this morning, brothers and sisters, that if we fight the good fight of faith and we lay hold on the things that have to do with eternal life, and we keep those in mind, and we focus our attention on not just the here and now and the fear that may be around us, but we look forward to the eternal life that is promised to those that are faithful, I believe we can have a very strong immunity to the sin and evil that is around us. Now turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And looking at something here that I believe is on everybody's mind. I mean, just the fact that we have empty benches at the church house this morning testimony to that, and that is the social distancing that is taking place. And as we do that, we are trying to eliminate or trying to lower our exposure to the COVID-19 and the illness that is going around in the world today. But how does that work in our spiritual life? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." He says, "From such turn away." And this goes right along with the concern of getting contaminated. But as we look at the fact of the danger around us, the sin and the evil and the influence that it is, and he lists a number of things here that are going on, and he's not talking about COVID-19. He's talking about the sinful life and what it entails and what the outworkings of those things are. The lovers of themselves, they're selfish. They're self-centered. They're proud. They're boasters, proud, blasphemers. They speak evil of things that are good and holy. And the list we could make a sermon out of talking about all of these things here, but the last phrase in verse 5 is what I want to zero in on, and that is, from such turn away. Again, are we distancing ourselves from the influences around us? Are we distancing ourselves from the possibility of contamination of sin? Brothers and sisters, we live in this world. We're placed here, and this is where we live, and we mingle with people all the time. But are we conscious enough of what is happening? I've heard people say about this virus that, oh, it's just it's all political, or it's all the media that's hyping it up. There's really nothing to it. Brothers and sisters, if we take that attitude in relation to sin, and we say, oh, there's really nothing to it, you know, it's not that serious, it's not that bad, and we become careless, I can guarantee you that we are going to end up being contaminated. We need to social distance ourselves, in quotes, from those individuals who are living in sin. We cannot be a partner to them. We cannot be a close friend to them. We cannot go with them in their deeds, and we cannot take part in their way of life and expect not to be contaminated and to have sin develop in our own lives. And I would dare say that we need to distance ourselves not only in a physical way from those individuals and not be a part of their life and not be a part, not allow them to be a close part of our life, but I think we need to be careful that we don't become like those that, I believe it's Paul speaks about, those that not only take part in it, but those that take pleasure in them that do those things. You know, we can look around us and we can see people living in sin, and somehow in our minds, we can begin to think about how it would be like if we could do that, or if we would do that, or and we begin to build a fantasy in our minds. We begin to dwell on those things, and I for myself believe that if we dwell on those things, we are with those that take pleasure in them that do such things. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, we have another warning here about keeping ourselves at a distance from those who are could contaminate us. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We are not going to be able to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And that word world doesn't mean the earth that we live on. That means the systems and the programs of the world. We are not going to be able to keep ourselves unspotted from the world if we immerse ourselves in those things. And he says here, pure religion. And one of the ways to have pure religion is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We cannot be part of the program and the system of the world and accept the things that the world wants to throw at us. Like Brother Leon shared this morning, you know, we need to be spirit-led. And if we're spirit-led, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and we allow the Holy Spirit to to help us make decisions and to guide us and to teach us what the Word of God means. We will be turning away from those things that would lead us astray. Another thing that we see around us today is the care for the sick. There's vast concern about those who get sick and being able to handle all the, you know, will the medical system be able to handle all this? Are there enough hospitals? They're setting up temporary hospitals and they're concerned about equipment, and they're concerned about enough of healthcare workers to be able to take care of all this. Brothers and sisters in the spiritual life, we must be concerned about those who are sick. We need to have a heart of compassion and love for those who are sick. We need to care about them. We need to be willing to do something about them. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness." And then he says this, "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We need to be careful, brothers and sisters. Yes, we are called to care for the sick. We are called to be concerned for those who have fallen into temptation and sin. We need to, as a spiritual people, find that we need to find that spurs our love and our compassion for that person. We need to recognize that that individual with unconfessed sin in their life is doomed to hell. And that should draw us to that individual and say, "I want to help you." And it may mean reproof and correction. It will probably also mean to show love and compassion and to be willing to help that individual in any way we can. Sometimes it might mean getting dirty, but we need to have compassion for that individual. But right along with that, as we look at the healthcare system today, they're concerned about what might happen to those individuals who are taking care of those who are sick. We need to as well be careful that as we take care of the sick, we need to keep ourselves healthy. We need to keep ourselves in the Word of God. We need to keep ourselves spiritually fed. We need to keep ourselves spiritually vital, so that as we work with those individuals who are sick, that those influences don't make an inroad on our lives. We are prone to become infected. If we're not careful, we need to be on our guard with that. Turning to James chapter 5, another portion of scripture here that has come to my mind over and over again in relation to this. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Brothers and sisters, the call in Scripture is for us to be concerned about those who are sick. And I believe in this time when the world is showing how concerned they can get about physical sickness and the spread of it and what to do about it, we as Christians need to be sure that we are just as concerned and just as active in being concerned about those who are sick spiritually, and realizing that we are the ones that God wants to use. We are the health care workers, so to speak, in the spiritual life. We are the ones that have the power at our fingertips to reach out to those individuals and help them. We cannot shrug off our responsibility in this time. We would be very, very displeased with the health workers that would say, "Well, I'm afraid of getting contaminated. I'm afraid of getting sick, and I'm just going to stay at home." And well, Woe be to anybody who gets it. It's their own tough luck. Brothers and sisters, how often do we do that in the spiritual life? And we look at somebody that has fallen into sin, and we are very ready to say, well, the life they were living, they kind of got what they deserved. God's heart of mercy and compassion is open, and ours needs to be too. We need to be caring for the sick. Grief over the casualties. There's much made about the people who are dying, and yes, death is serious. Even the death of one person because of an illness is serious enough. But there's thousands have died from this, and there probably will be more. What about our grief for those casualties in the spiritual life? Matthew chapter 23 shows to us Jesus' desire. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Jesus is out on a hill overlooking Jerusalem, and he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus here is weeping over Jerusalem because of their refusal to be obedient to him, because of their refusal to accept God's way. How many times have we wept over the casualties of a spiritual life? I'm sure as individuals die because of this virus, I'm sure there's weeping. I'm sure there's family members who shed tears because of a loved one having passed away. Brothers and sisters, how much more serious is it for a spiritual casualty? And do we weep over that? Does it tug at our hearts? Are we concerned about those who are going headlong into an eternity in hell because of the sickness of sin? Paul wept over Israel. He says his heart's desire is that Israel would be saved. That was his cry. That was his heart's desire. Peter expressed deep concern over those who were mocking and saying that all things continue as they are, and they don't understand that this long-suffering of God is what is allowing these things to go on. God is just waiting and desiring for others to be saved. Do we have that concern for the lost around us? If we would know that our neighbor is sick with an illness and is dying, and there's something we could do to help them, would we not go and help them? How do we do? How concerned are we when we know our neighbor is sick in sin and is dying? Do we go and help? One last thing. There's much made about honoring our leaders in this time, and I believe it is very important that we do. I believe we need to understand that even though we think maybe things are going way overboard and things are kind of out of hand, we need to honor our leaders and obey their direction in this. But I'd like to ask the question, are we willing to honor our spiritual leader, Jesus Christ and God, just as much? Mark chapter 16. Jesus here speaking to the disciples just before he is received into heaven again after his resurrection, he's speaking to his disciples, and he says this to them, Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Jesus here, he challenges them. Where is your faith? Where is your understanding? Where is your belief? Then he says in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Brothers and sisters, our leader has called us to go. And that doesn't mean that every one of us has to go into other countries, into other lands, and to preach to people who are barbarous. We have people around us here today. We have people in our communities. We have people in the houses beside us that need the Word of God. And our leader has called us to go. Are we going to honor our leader? Are we going to abide by the commands that our leader has given us? And these are the signs that shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. Brothers and sisters, I know there's a lot of different ideas on this passage of Scripture, but I believe this morning that we as God's people are going to be protected from the evil around us if we're willing to go and to preach the word. If we are willing to obey our leaders and to honor our leader, Jesus Christ and God, we can go out in this world of sin. We can go out and face the devil. We can go out and face individuals who are mocking and who are laughing and who are scorning Christianity and religion. We can go out there and we can preach the word, and we're going to be protected. We're going to speak a new tongue. We're going to speak a new language, a language that they never heard. We're going to speak a language of love. We're going to speak a language of redemption. We're going to speak a language of forgiveness. And we're going to be able to take the serpent-like barbs and deadly words that they throw at us, and they're not going to hurt us because we are following our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as the world is concerned about this virus, and I believe rightly so, I again say there is something that has been in the world a long time, has been in the world almost ever since man has been in the world, and that is sin. And I do believe that we as Christians, first of all, need to be concerned that we don't become infected by it. But then we need to reach out and care for the sick and to grieve over the casualties. Let us honor our leader and preach and teach the word of God. Let's kneel for prayer. Eternal, almighty God and Father in heaven, we pause before you at the close of this service. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to read and study your word. And Father, I pray this morning that we might be anxious to take it into our lives as a medicine and as a help in warding off the sickness of sin and evil. Father, this morning we thank you for your love. We thank you for your care. We thank you that Jesus Christ came to be that physician that would heal the sick, And Father, we were all sick. We were all sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. And then, Father, help us to have a heart of compassion for those who are still sick, those who are still in the grips of Satan. May we be willing to reach out and to bring them the word of God that can heal them. Father, our hearts go out to those who have lost loved ones and those who are sick physically. Father, may we recognize that the fear that is in the world today is because mankind outside of Jesus Christ has no hope, and they fear anything that would take the life that they have away from them, because that's all they can cling to. Father, we pray for those individuals. May you use this time of fear to soften the hearts of men. Father, I pray that we as Christians would not be ashamed of the gospel, but use this opportunity to spread the word and to spread peace and comfort and stability in this time of fear and instability. And Father, help us to have proper attitudes towards our national leaders. They face many decisions, and even though sometimes we feel their decisions aren't right, Father, I just pray that you would help us to have a proper attitude, an attitude of respect toward them. And Father, we do know that they are placed there by you. They are placed there to rule the nations and to suppress evil. And I just pray that we would be willing to respect them. Be with us as a congregation as we spend this time not being able to gather together and to fellowship together like we normally do. Father, may you strengthen us. May you draw us together in heart. Father, help us to continue to love and to worship you and to be concerned about each other and to stay in contact with each other and to bless each other in ways that maybe are different than what we were used to. But I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would bless each one that is a member in the Leola congregation. And I just pray that your will might be done in this situation, and that you might receive the honor and the glory. It's what we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.